It is Thursday, March 22nd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, President Donald Trump signs a China trade measure. The move is strongly opposed by the Chinese government, and many observers believe Beijing will retaliate.
They're going to try and not assert just economic pain, but political pain as well.
Russian liberals are in disarray following the re-election of President Vladimir Putin, and pop star Britney Spears has designs on a new career move. It's all ahead. Following the imposition of stiff steel and aluminum import tariffs, President Donald Trump announced duties on Chinese imports to curb what the White House spokesman called a state-led effort to steal U.S. technology and intellectual property. Trump spoke at the White House Thursday.
So we've spoken to China, and we're in the midst of a very large negotiation. We'll see where it takes us. But in the meantime, we're sending a section 301 action. I'll be signing it right here, right now.
Robert Leitinger, the U.S. trade representative, expressed his concerns Wednesday concerning the U.S. and China's trade situation to the House Ways and Means Committee.
Our view is that we have a very serious problem of losing our intellectual property, which is really the biggest single advantage of the American economy, in my opinion. Is our intellectual property and our ability to generate new intellectual property. We are losing that to China in ways that are not reflective of the underlying economics. So it's an enormously important issue. We think it's perhaps the most important thing that will have been done in a long time in terms of rebalancing trade and trade specifically with China.
The action would follow a so-called 301 investigation based on the 1974 Trade Act that identified theft from and coercion of U.S. companies to disclose their intellectual property and purchases by Chinese state funds of U.S. companies for their technology knowledge. China's Commerce Ministry Thursday said the country will take all necessary measures to protect its interests. Scott Kennedy is the director of the Project on Chinese Business and Political Economy at the Washington-based Centers for Strategic and International Studies. He tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, Beijing will retaliate, raising the specter of the trade war between the world's two largest economies.
And a trade war, just like dancing, takes two parties to agree to participate. And so that's where we'll be. I think the Chinese have talked most openly about soybeans. And the U.S. is one of the largest providers of soybeans to China. But they've not explicitly identified the other sectors that could be targeted. Apparently, their Ministry of Commerce has a list, and they'll begin to work on that. And, you know, the U.S. has a wide range of exports to China, over $125 billion a year last year. So the Chinese have a lot to choose from, not just based on the size of the exports, but targeting politically important states that Donald Trump just barely won in 2016. So they're going to try and not assert just economic pain, but political pain as well.
A White House official said that the action has to do with China's state-led, market-distorting efforts to force, pressure, and steal U.S. technologies and intellectual property.
Objective observers in the United States and elsewhere would agree that China has a lot of practices that violate the letter or spirit of their commitments to the WTO related to intellectual property, including coerced technology transfer. What is not clear about is whether these actions that the Trump administration are going to start is the best way to address these problems, or if they're going to go about it in an effective way. Lots of disagreement, lack of consensus within the United States amongst our allies, and certainly it's going to cause a lot of rethinking and perhaps head-scratching over the next weeks and months.
Analyst David Dollar of the Brookings Institution suggested that using the trade imbalance of some $375 billion may not be the only metric to use. He said the argument that we are losing out to China, that they are cheating everywhere, I think is overblown. The trade balance is largely macroeconomic. In the case of the U.S., we don't save enough, so as a result, we run a trade deficit.
I think David is technically correct that, yes, bilateral trade balances don't really reveal very much. And in fact, sometimes your global trade balance doesn't really say a lot either. And China's global trade balance as a percentage of its GDP has dropped quite a bit. That said, it's clear that China engages in a lot of protectionist behavior that limit opportunities for American exporters and for American companies that want to do business by investing in China, and that Chinese trade practices also distort markets. These things just aren't measurable by bilateral balances. So the Trump administration's justification that we need to launch these trade actions because of the trade balance in and of itself may be technically inaccurate, but that China is behaving in a way that's inconsistent with the goals of having win-win cooperation is, I think, true. And the U.S. has tried a lot of different ways to try and get China to change its practices. None have ever been very successful. And so you can sympathize with the frustration of the Trump administration, even though you may disagree with the specific tools that they're about to use.
45 American trade associations have warned the White House such tariffs will raise prices on U.S. consumer goods, kill jobs, and drive down financial markets. Scott Kennedy said, while in the short term that is true, advocates argue China could relent and reduce its own barriers, providing American businesses more opportunities, lower prices for American consumers, and prove beneficial to the Chinese as well. But Kennedy acknowledged it is a risky strategy that he thinks is unlikely to succeed. A Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman said Beijing hopes it can hold constructive talks with the U.S. to achieve what she called a win-win solution to settle trade issues. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Well, I guess if it's a day that ends with Y, it's time for another departure from Team Trump. This time, it is John Dowd, the president's lead personal attorney, part of a team of attorneys. He resigned his position today, Thursday morning. And this is causing a stir in social media. Now, essentially what's happening here is Mr. Dowd, along with Jay Sekulow and recently added attorney Joe DeGeneva, are the president's personal attorneys who are working with him on the Robert Mueller special counsel Russia investigation. Mr. Dowd has been at odds with Mr. Mueller, but he's also been at odds with Mr. Trump, and he was one of the lead people urging the president not to go speak before Robert Mueller's inquiry. But what happened here very quickly is when Joe DeGeneva was added, Joe DeGeneva has some very pungent views, I suppose, as to what's going on with this investigation. He thinks it's basically all made up. It's part of the FBI and the Department of Justice's efforts to get the president to, you know, kind of, you know, make sure that the president is either hobbled or removed from office. John Dowd does not believe that. Here's the problem now. It looks like with the Trump team, the ascendant view is that of Joe DeGeneva, that this investigation is not just bogus, but it's probably illegal and Mr. Mueller should probably be fired. So that has people a little worried now. And the departure of Mr. Dowd, I think, is fueling those worries. And so one of the big hashtags trending today on social media is hashtag protect Mueller. There are two measures, one in the Senate, one in the House, that are really not going anywhere at this point, that would, you know, basically say that the funds for the Mueller investigation will be protected, Mr. Mueller will be protected, he can't be fired, that kind of thing. But it's going nowhere because largely I think the Republicans in control really don't have, you know, a lot of stomach for that, because that's not what the president wants. So we're seeing lots and lots and lots. Here's former Nixon counsel John Dean. There's a name from the past. What we're witnessing is a very public obstruction of justice. Trump, as I see it, has already exceeded everything that Nixon did. He's really much more intimately involved than Nixon ever was in the cover-up. Here's Scott Dworkin, the journalist Robert Mueller is investigating the link between the RNC and Cambridge Analytica, which means the RNC is under investigation by Mueller. He needs protection. somebody else tweeting, urgent action needed. The House of Representatives wants to pass an omnibus bill by Thursday. Demand inclusion of the amendment to hashtag Protect Mueller. So a lot of people focusing on that, and it's really feeding off of breaking news and news that I'm sure will continue to evolve today and the rest of the week.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. Syrian rebels are set to leave part of eastern Ghouta. At least 14 people are killed in a car bombing in Mogadishu. As we just heard, the attorney representing President Trump in the Russia probe resigns, and the House of Representatives is poised to vote on a $1.3 trillion spending bill. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
For years, studies have shown that eating a diet that includes a lot of red and processed meat have been linked to cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and even cancer. Now, recent research by Israeli medical scientists have found that another disease can be added to that list, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD. According to the U.S. National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases, NAFLD is a condition in which excess fat is stored in your liver. This buildup of fat is not caused by heavy alcohol use. There are two types of NAFLD. The most commonly diagnosed type is called simple fatty liver, which doesn't typically progress to cause liver damage or complications. But the other more advanced form, called non-alcoholic steatohepatitis or NASH, could lead to cirrhosis or cancer of the liver. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Britney Spears is changing her career direction. Amid acrimonious public recriminations, Russia's liberals have turned on each other following Russia's presidential election, blaming not only ballot rigging for Vladimir Putin's landslide win, but each other. VOA's Jamie Detmer has more from Moscow.
Please put away the glass of water, because if you think, after saying all the nice phrases like, you know, dear viewers, being far apart is bad and Democrats should unite, if you want me to believe in this lie, then my answer is no.
Russia's best-known opposition figure, Alexei Navalny, has refused to join forces with liberal politician Ksenia Sobchak in a new opposition party. She was a candidate in Sunday's election, drawing less than 2% of the vote. And Navalny, who wanted liberals to boycott the vote, accuses her of having been a spoiler paid by the Kremlin. Analyst Alexander Bonov of the Carnegie Moscow Center says liberals are now locked in a dispute.
If you follow the discussion on social media, we really have two branches, two streams of liberals discussing and blaming each other. One blame others for going to election and voting for Sobchak, and the other are blaming the boycott.
Less than 5% of votes cast Sunday went to liberal opposition candidates. Now the big question is what strategy they should pursue during Putin's next six-year term.
Russian liberals remain as divided after the election as they were before. Some say they should unite, form a single party, and work as best they can within the very narrow political confines Vladimir Putin grants them. Others say all they can do is wait for a political or economic crisis to crumble the current order. But that is a hope, not a strategy.
Following elections 6 years ago, anti-Putin protests erupted. Liberals thought a pre-revolutionary moment had arrived, but the moment passed. No protests emerged when the election results were announced this time. One reason may be a lack of faith in opposition figures, who even during the election spent more time criticizing each other than Putin. Long-time Putin critic and former lawmaker Gennady Gudkov says the options are not good.
Putin has won in Russia because he is popular. and he has become popular because the TV is fully under his control. And like other mass media, it has been turned into a weapon of propaganda.
Putin's opponents, from activists to stand-up comics, are shut out of the main Russian networks. They're reduced to using internet-based independent TV channels with small audiences. Satirist Viktor Shandarovich is not sure there will be political change anytime soon.
There is a sad anecdote about an optimist and a pessimist. The pessimist says, "Oh, it's not so bad, so bad." The optimist replies, "What are you talking about? It will get much worse."
Jamie Detmer, VOA News, Moscow.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. One of pop music's top stars is moving in a new direction. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with the latest.
Today we're talking about your favorite artist, Sarah. I'm sure this is somebody you're working out to every single day, every morning when you wake up. This artist was once known as the Queen of Pop. A lot of people still regard her as the Queen of Pop. I know it's not new. Today we're doing retro because there's a bit of news about Britney Spears. So we're going to talk about Britney today and play an older Britney Spears song. Britney turns 37 in December, and she apparently is now the subject of talk on the internet about plastic surgery.
Oh.
The dreaded plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery. She hasn't confirmed or denied it, but there's all kinds of reports that some of the latest pictures that Britney's put out kind of look as if she's had some touch-up work done. And there's another big thing that's going on with Britney Spears that deals with something that is a first for her. Now, we're talking about Britney Spears, who's celebrated her 20th anniversary in the music business. She's been putting out all kinds of hits for many, many years, had a Las Vegas residency that lasted a few years at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. It just came to an end New Year's Eve this past December 31st. But she's doing something new, and that is designing clothes.
Ooh.
Something you'd never expect from Britney. We'll talk more about that. Let's check out one of the oldie goldies from Britney's collection. Do you have a favorite Britney Spears song? How about Toxic?
Okay.
That's always great. Let's listen to Britney and Toxic.
So is it known why she's decided to venture into the design area?
No, I think it's just, you know, my guess is probably boredom. Probably she's done so many other things already. She wants to try something different. So she's also got perfume fragrances out. She's had perfume fragrances for a number of years, and all of these perfumes make millions and millions of dollars for whoever it is that they're endorsed by. And in this case, she's teamed up with Kenzo. And the new La Collection Memento No. 2 line of jeans. And Britney says these are retro jeans, taking you back to the 80s. And so she's just done a whole photo spread, which went online this week on the Kenzo website. The jeans are now available this week. And you can actually see Britney. So the photos of her in the Kenzo jean ad is what's led people to say she looks different. She looks like she's had some surgery. So that's where that's coming from. Another bit of Britney Spears news. Her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, once known as K-Fed, the father of her two sons, Sean and Jaden, is now seeking more money in child support.
Ooh.
And apparently $20,000 a month was not enough. And she's come out recently and said, I don't know why he wants more money because I pay for everything anyway. But his response to that, his attorney's response to that, is that she just made $187 million for her shows in Las Vegas. I think I'm receiving not enough money out of her income and her earnings to support these kids the way they should be supported. So that's his argument. I'm not really sure that that's going to hang well in court, and we'll see how that also goes. But she's been dating Sam Ashgary, her former manager, and there's a report that the two of them are looking at some business together, possibly health clubs throughout Los Angeles, because Britney's always been very health conscious. And they seem to be happy together. She said she's ready for another marriage, should it come her way. She'd like to have more children. Should that also be an opportunity for her? So that's what's going on with Britney Spears.
Has she had a hit song in a while?
No, she has not. Slave for You and a few other songs she put out probably would be about 2011, 2012 was the last time we heard new music from Britney Spears. She doesn't need to put out another new hit. She's got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. Her dad was appointed her guardian to watch her money after, you remember, that famous breakdown that she suffered. So he's been watching her money and how she manages her money, and he's also subpoenaed all of Kevin Federline's spending records. So he wants to see where this $20,000 a month child support has actually been going. But no, she hasn't had any new music. She's looking at, perhaps because she was just on stage in Las Vegas, she's looking at a possible actual world tour. And, you know, she's always been accused of lip syncing, but watching Britney perform has never been about actually hearing her sing, because she puts on a show with dancing and effects and snakes and, you know, which she had in the video for Slave for You and all kinds of fun stuff. But, you know, that she's always taken heat for the fact that she lip syncs, and so does Madonna. So do, you know, Katy Perry and Lady Gaga and most of the big stars who are moving around and dancing a lot. They use lip syncing to, you know, so they're not out of breath.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. And that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On March 22nd, we observe World Water Day. It is an opportunity to shine a light on the importance of clean water and take action to counter water-related crises arising around the world. Without water, life is not possible, and yet around 2 billion people now live in areas of severe scarcity. Some 1.8 billion people depend on sources of drinking water that are contaminated with fecal waste, putting them at risk of contracting a number of deadly diseases such as cholera and dysentery. If current trends of consumption and pollution continue, by 2050 that number will increase to 3 billion people. While increased water waste treatment is needed, green infrastructure solutions based on nature can produce low-cost options for restoring water quality and quantity. Right now, unsustainable land and water usage practices are contributing to the problems of pollution and scarcity. As forested land is degraded and natural wetlands lost, drier areas become drier still and are rendered unsuitable for agriculture, while areas that are subject to heavy precipitation, such as monsoon rains, suffer more frequent and intense flooding. Soil erosion is also a problem. Every year, 25 to 40 billion tons of topsoil are carried off by erosion, significantly reducing the soil's ability to regulate and retain water, carbon, and nutrients. The runoff, containing large amounts of nitrogen and phosphorus, is also a major contributor to water pollution. These are some of the reasons why this year's World Water Day theme is Nature for Water, exploring how we can use nature to overcome the water challenges of the 21st century. This includes restoring forests, grasslands, and natural wetlands, reconnecting rivers to floodplains, creating buffers of vegetation along watercourses. All are examples of nature-based solutions that help maintain water availability and quality. We can protect soil from erosion by utilizing conservation agriculture and planting native trees and shrubs along water courses. We can help filter and purify wastewater and enhance biodiversity, protecting wetlands which naturally filter and hold water, and reducing areas of hard surfaces and turf will also decrease runoff and water pollution. When we degrade our ecosystems, we make it more difficult to provide our population with the water we need to survive and thrive. On this World Water Day, we explore how nature-based solutions may help to solve many of these challenges.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.